This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits, did you see the 50th anniversary show of Austin City Limits the other night?
No, I did not.
Incredible.
I have to go back.
Absolutely incredible.
You loved it?
Yeah, I couldn't help but think of you, obviously, while watching it, right?
I'm glad.
I'm surprised you weren't on it. Bob, they should have invited him to be on it. Would you agree with that?
I think it's still too early in the game. They don't know about Austin here yet, but they will soon. They will soon.
They
it sounds like
know.
A Parmar store. They will soon.
It's not one near you now. There will be soon.
Without further ado, we teased ahead to this as a Pittsburgh sports writing luminary, a fixture on the media scene here for literally decades, a man that I worked with for many years, a man that I once went to brunch with at the in Annapolis before a Pitt Navy game at a little French bistro, one of the truly good people in what can be a cutthroat business. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, Bob. And this man carried himself with grace, dignity, class, friendly to all, amazing work ethic, a really versatile sports writer who could cover anything through all these years, and now getting ready to hang up the spikes, Mr. Jerry DePaula of the Trib. Jerry,
there he is, magically appears.
There he is. Congratulations, my friend, on an amazing, truly amazing career. You've done this the right way, Jerry.
Yes, you have. And on top of everything else, you're nice as they come. We always appreciate that.
Joe, Bob, and Austin, I'm humbled. Joe, thank you so much for that great tribute. I'm not sure that I deserve all those accolades, but I had a great time working with you. And I know this, we'll always have Philip Rivers.
That's right.
Now, you don't remember that?
I do remember that. We were watching the game from a hotel bar, was it a draft?
Kansas City.
We were in Kansas City, and what was happening on the television? What was happening?
Philip Rivers was playing for North Carolina State against somebody that night. I can't remember who it was, but we were looking at him. I think we were saying the Steelers should draft him or something like that, you know.
Yeah, we were saying that Cowher wanted to draft him because it was from his alma mater.
Right.
I also remember, Jerry, we were in the hurricane in Miami that year. It was Ben's first start, I believe.
Yes,
and,
it was. Yes.
And Uncle Walt Harris was back here almost losing to some Division II program. I remember that.
Furman, I think it was.
Furman.
Right?
That's exciting. And yeah. We didn't have much technology back then, so I was watching it on online on ESPN. But we digress, Jerry. Congratulations,
yes.
My friend.
And thank you so much.
Yeah, I know Bob feels the same way. I would think everybody, literally everybody, and Austin as well, that you've come in contact with, you've treated the right way, man. It's quite a legacy.
Well, Joe, you know, I tried to be nice to everybody because I wanted them to be nice to me. And, you know, a couple of things that I've been thinking about over the last several days and how my career has gone. But there's three things that I always tried to do, whether writing my stories or meeting with people or just making relationships. I always wanted to respect the language. And you can relate to that. All you three, you guys can relate to that. Respect the language while you're writing stories. Agonize over every word. Every placement of every comma, agonize over before you publish it. And the third thing, most important, be fair to everyone whose name appears under your byline. And I thought I did all three of those things as best I could. Since 1976, my first full-time job. And you know the guy who worked under me that year, Joe, 1976, to the Bellevue City and Suburban Weekly, City and Suburban Life. Tom McMillan was my ace reporter.
Wow.
On that staff in 1976.
Wow.
Well, and he just recently, he retired a few years ago.
From his Penguins executive role, Bob.
No, I just wanted to say, you mentioned one thing there, three things, but the one thing that really stands out is fairness. I think we have become a culture where we're taking sides, pitting people against pitting people, and it's gotten even deeper than that. But through it all, you've kept that standard. And I think that's a very lofty standard that we should all try to get to. You know, just be fair. Regardless of what you're covering, regardless of how you feel, just be fair. And you've done that.
I appreciate that. That's what I try to do through all those 50-some years, especially with Joe by my side, because Joe kept me honest. He honestly did. If he didn't like a story I wrote, he would tell me, and I appreciated that.
You are the origin of the famous saying that's become part of this show is, I don't know, Jerry, you're the beat writer. Remember that?
I'm the beat writer. I'd ask Joe a question, and Joe wouldn't know the answer to it, and he says, I don't know, you're the beat writer.
Now so, that's but, become
I won't have to worry about that after Saturday. My last official assignment is Pitt Spring Game at Acushnet Stadium, and Joe, Pat Narduzzi expects you to be there.
Well, unfortunately, Jerry, I'm predisposed on that day, but let me ask you this. 1976, did you always want to be a sports writer?
My mother wanted to be a teacher, and I thought back over the years, I thought I would have enjoyed being a teacher, but I always wanted to be involved in sports, and I never was good enough to play on the high school basketball team. I got cut in ninth grade, and never good, you know, big enough or strong enough to play football. But I always liked to write, and I always liked to read the newspapers. I remember my dad used to have a saying when he see me read the newspaper all the time. He told me, you're trying to read the print right off that page.
Hmm.
What I did, I scoured every story I read and read it, different people. You know, I idolized Phil Music and Bob Smides back in the day. And I got to work with you and other great professionals over the years, too, that really taught me a lot of different things. And I really appreciated all the help you gave me, Joe. And you know, your career has blossomed. You know, you come a long way in your short time in Pittsburgh. You know, you've been in Pittsburgh, what, since the 80s? Late 80s?
He's become a mega media star. And he's in everything you can think of.
November of 89 is when I arrived, Jerry. Bob?
So, Jerry, I want to ask you about, you've covered a lot of things, so I'm sure you have many stories. What is the one story you covered that you really said to yourself, wow, this is pretty amazing that we're doing this, or something that stuck out from one of the stories you've done?
Well, you know, I enjoyed the U.S. Open. You know, being around Phil Mickelson was a lot of fun. That it was the last time it was in Oakmont. I've been to 6 Super Bowls, I believe. The first one that I went to was when the Steelers lost to the Cowboys in Arizona in 1996, January 96. Those are big stories.
I remember that one.
But one thing that really stands out to me from, and it's not a great story, but when Duquesne hired, and I can tell the story now because I'm retired or I'm going to be, and he's retired now. But when Duquesne hired Keith Dambrot in 2017, a guy from the Akron Beacon Journal called me up and said, hey, you know, Duquesne's going to hire our coach here at Akron. Here's his phone number. Give him a call. So I called Keith. And you know how things are these days. You know, coaches and sports information directors and executives like to keep things secret. I said to Keith, I understand you're going to be the next Duquesne coach. He said, yeah, I am. And he did told me. And he was my source for that story. And, you know, how often you couldn't do that with almost anybody else in this business. You know, if Steelers going to hire a football coach next year, you'd never be able to do that with their next hired football coach. But Keith is a down to earth guy and a good guy who understood, you know, the problems of the media. And I appreciated that more than anything.
Jerry DePaula of the Trib, his last day of an incredible career is Saturday when he covers the Pitt Spring Game. So this is an announcement of sorts, even though I think a lot of people in the media already know. Limits?
Jerry, we met, I'd like to say, 3-4 years ago now, when I was just in college covering Pitt sports, and it was always a pleasure being able to chat with you, and I remember the times that we were in Greensboro together at the ACC tournament and covering of those games and watching it and going out to dinner was awesome. If you can look back on your entire career to the point where you're my age or somebody in college right now that's listening, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would give my younger self the advice that don't get too nervous about what you're doing. You're not doing brain surgery here. You're writing about sports, and it's a fun thing to do, but you do have to do it correctly and do it with respect, you know, for the language, like I said, and for the people you're writing about, and make relationships, not just talk to people at news conferences or over the phone, but also, you know, try to get to meet people. You know, I watch my good friend Kevin Gorman work through their Pirate clubhouse, and goes up to, and he talks to a lot of people, and not just necessary for a story, but, you know, just to, you know, build a relationship. And that's what you got to do in this business to be successful, is build good relationships. Coaches talk about it all the time. The best thing they can do is build a good relationship with their players. And I tried to build good relationships with the people I covered and the people I worked with too. I worked with a lot of great people over the years, and that's what I would, you know, I didn't know that back in 1976, but I got to know that, especially over the last couple of decades.
Jerry, one of the many notable stories you were involved with was Alan Faneca. Way back in Ben's rookie year, Tommy Maddox gets hurt against the Ravens. So obviously it's going to be Ben for game two. You ask Faneca if he's excited about it. He says no, because who would want to work with a little young kid who's just out of college? And that quote made the rounds, man. That quote made the rounds. Tell us about that story and any aftermath to it.
Well, I got back from Baltimore. I went directly to the Steelers facility, because on Mondays after games, they would always bring in a couple players up to talk to us in the media room, not in the locker room, but in the media room. And Faneca was one of them. And of course, you know, Maddox got hurt in that game, and we knew that Ben was going to be the quarterback the next week. And I just thought it'd be interesting to ask Alan Faneca, you know, a veteran offensive lineman, what it's going to be like to play with a rookie quarterback. And he didn't like the question at all. And then he didn't speak to me for several weeks after that. And I remember him telling me in the locker room a couple of days later, he said, "DePaula, you set me up. What the heck you set me up for?" You know, and I wasn't setting him up for getting any kind of trouble at all. He gave an honest answer, you know, which was great. And I appreciate honest answers, whether the guy gives.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. What happened?
His retirement happened already.
Right. Here he is.
There we go. You still got me? Sorry. Yeah. Someone's trying to call me. I'm sorry. Faneca, I never really got much relationship with him after that, because that was my last year on the beat, I believe. Yeah, it was. Because at 2004 was my last year on the beat. And then I became an executive in the Trib offices, and later on got my Pitt football basketball beat. So that was an interesting story and one that I'll always remember. But another one I always remember, that was that draft, since it's almost draft time. I remember when the Steelers drafted Ben Roethlisberger that year, I called Maddox's agent right after that. And Vic, he might have even called me. He was angry, livid. The Steelers promised me they wouldn't draft a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. They drafted a quarterback. So I wrote the story. And right there in the media room there before the first round ended. And I think Jerry Dulac also wrote it. But then about a couple hours later, the guy calls me up, the agent. Can't remember his name. Calls me up. Oh, you can't print that. I'm going to take all that stuff back. I said, hey, it's too late. It's already up on our website. What can I tell you, sir? You know, you said it. You know, you can't deny you said it. And, you know, Maddox didn't like it. His agent didn't like it. But turned out pretty well for everybody concerned, right?
Best interview you ever had after all these years. Colorful. Somebody you didn't expect it and stood out to you.
Troy Polamalu. Several years ago, after I was off the beat, actually, I was doing a story on religion in the NFL, and I went into the Steelers locker room one day during the season, and I asked Troy about it. And Troy, you know, it's one of the topics he liked to talk about, because he actually spent a couple off seasons with monks in Greece, living, you know, actually in a cave, you know, contemplating and meditating. And we talked for, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe about this subject, and it got to be the end of the open media period, where the media had to disappear and get out of the way. So when one of the media guys comes up, okay, you guys, you're done now. Troy looks at him, waves him off, and says, sorry, you know, we're okay. Because it was a topic Troy wanted to talk about. He enjoyed talking about it, and it was important to him, and he didn't want to be beholden to some artificial deadline.
Bob, imagine if Troy was still here and Aaron Rodgers comes here. Can you imagine the cave dwelling that would go on here? They'd go on cave field trips. Right?
How about that? Darkness, meet darkness, maybe.
Darkness at the edge of town. All right, Jerry DePaula. is going to hang up the spikes his last day of journalism here in Pittsburgh. And man, if you're out there and you like sports, then you've read Jerry over the years. Last day is Saturday.
I appreciate that, Jim.
Last
Thank
day
you.
Is, of course, of course. What other publications have you worked for, Jerry? You said you started at the Bellevue City and Suburban Life back in 76. Yes. I wonder if they ever did a big feature on Bob. I don't know. But where else did you work?
Well, we had a little weekly newspaper called the Ross Viewer, which circulated in Ross Township and Westview. Get it, Ross Viewer? And that was also a weekly paper. I worked for the North Hills News Record. I worked for the Butler County News in Zillionople. Mm. My first job out of college, 1976, covering the Seneca Valley and Mars sports for about 3 years. Then I went to the Valley News Dispatch for a while. Well, you worked there too, Joe, right?
Just yes,
before
you I
got
did.
There, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Valley News Dispatch, Pittsburgh Press. I was at the Pittsburgh Press when it was shut down because by the Teamster strike in 1992. And then I went to the Trib. I was on unemployment 1 week before I got hired by the Trib in January of 1993, and I've been there ever since, 32 years.
Wow.
What a run.
That is amazing. Where'd you go to college, Jerry?
Point Park with Tom McMillan.
Holy
Bob Pompiani.
Holy bird milk.
Yeah,
were you guys?
Okay. He was a pioneer, a real pioneer.
A real
not
pioneer.
Just the pioneer, but a pioneer because he was there setting
we
the standards
there at the
for
same
people
time,
like me.
Right, Bob?
Yeah.
Bob was,
no,
a
I was
little
there.
Bit
I was there, there, I was time, there a little bit after you, but I okay. remember hearing all about you. So Mike yeah. DeCourcy also. DeCourcy was a guy.
Mike DeCourcy,
there.
Yep.
Greg
yep.
Brown spent time there. Yeah, we have a lot of them.
Well, Jerry, I know you have grandkids that you're going to spend a lot of time with, your lovely wife, Tess, your daughter, Sarah, your son, Nick. Retirement is going to hold, I think, a lot of joy for you. Yes?
And by the way, two of my grandsons, twin boys, Jack and Aiden, play football at Avonworth. They're on the eighth grade team. Mm. So this is a notice to Pat Narduzzi. If you want to recruit those kids, you got to come through me.
Jerry, what's the greatest game you ever covered, if you had to pick one at any level?
The Jim Harbaugh game, the AFC championship game.
The ball that was in the air forever, right?
The air.
That seemed to take forever.
Down and hit the ground finally after. But I remember watching that. You know, we always tried to leave the press box early because you wanted to get downstairs and get ready, get set up and everything. And I watched it from the top level of the press box. And it seemed like that ball would never come down. He threw it. He had to throw one of the highest passes I've ever seen. And it finally came down, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. That was as exciting. It was a good game, back-and-forth game, one of the most exciting they've ever been at, actually.
We covered the Super Bowl 40 together, did we not? From the Marriott in Detroit? All the lead-up?
No,
were you there?
I was at the Super Bowl 30.
30?
In Arizona.
Okay.
But, I was on the copy desk that night reading Joe Bendel's copy, I believe it was.
That's right. I'm remembering.
And yours too.
Yeah, mine too from that game. I remember being
and
in
I
that
didn't
locker.
Change a comma, Joe. Believe me.
I know. Well, Bob, where do we go from here? This is a very sad day, it feels like.
It's Who's sad, your... but it's also happy. I'm sure Jerry.
It's sad and happy.
It's a chapter,
bittersweet.
It's a big chapter of your life, but you know the other chapters coming up. You got to really look forward to them because those are the times you will get to spend with your family. And I know that given what you've been able to do, it's hard to spend time with family when you're running around doing a lot of stuff. So I would definitely advise you to enjoy them because, man, you've earned it after all these years.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'll definitely do that. And probably some of them are listening right now, so I'm sure they'll appreciate that too.
Jerry, other than Ron Cook, who are some of your favorite media people of all time?
Ron's right up at the top, you know. But you know, a guy I worked with who I really respected a lot, the late PJ Maloney, was my editor at the City and Suburban Life. Mm. PJ recently passed away after a long career at the KQV Radio. He was one guy that I respected very much, you know, a lot of different people at the Trib I've respected a lot. My editor today, sports editor today, Bill Hartlip. Really puts up with my crap every day, and does a great job organizing everything. And you know, all my friends, like Kevin Gorman, Joe Rutter, Chris Adamski, Seth Warbar. I really enjoy working with all those guys. You know, and Chris Harlan does a great job covering high schools. I think we have a good staff at the Trib, and you know, we publish every day, 7 days a week, which a lot of newspapers, you know, aren't doing these days. But I'm proud of that, and I got to say, you know, without being maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm just proud of myself and the job that I've done, we've done over the years. Working with you, Joe, had to be right up there at top, especially on our trip to New York that time when you thought you were going to die.
Wait, which trip was that?
He
that was every
he's
trip.
Die. What are you talking
about?
To a
Giants game. I wasn't sure which gate to go through at the turnpike, and you were upset because I wasn't sure which gate to go through, and I was hesitating, and you were very nervous. You know, you were in the car, and my wife was in the car. We had quite a time.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, I'm a horrible front seat driver, back seat driver, whatever they call it, and also
you were
a horrible
back seat driver that day.
Yeah,
and we went to Akron together too.
Yes, we did.
Game recently,
I remember that.
10 years ago, I think it was. Yeah.
Yes, it was horrifying, as I recall. Well, Jerry, you have a very distinctive voice. I'm going to miss this voice on the radio when you've come on with us, and I'm just going to miss your presence in Pittsburgh media, whether it was seeing you in person or just reading your stuff. So again, I think from all three of us here, just congratulations on a career that was lived out really the right way. I honestly will say that I've never met a better guy than you in, I don't know, how many years have I been doing this? 35, 40 years, something like that. Never met a better guy.
I will second that.
I'm humbled.
And enjoy your retirement because it goes fast, as you know. So make the most of it. And if you're going to be the agent for your two grandsons, then good. You'll make a lot of money there too.
I hope Pat Narduzzi knows I was kidding.
See you, buddy.
All right, congrats, Jerry.
All right, gentlemen. All thanks so much. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too.
See you, Jerry. Now I feel sad, Bob. I usually don't get sad about things on the air.
This
but
is inevitable, right?
Sad.
With all of us, you just go through these processes where you have to.
I'm sure I'm going to get a chapter. Tweet that says, "You next, Starkey," and it can't be soon enough.
I'm sure I get them too.
No, you don't,
yes,
Bob.
I do.
Everybody loves you. They hate me.
Joe. You gotta make whatever good decision is for yourself, first and foremost. And Jerry, I'm sure, had a tug of war at one point trying to make this decision. You want to make it when you're it can't be 50-50 because that's a tough one. You'll never get out of it. It's got to be leaning toward, I need more time with my family.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you're another guy that this is not an easy business to be a nice person in. It really isn't, like, to constantly present yourself as a nice person. It can be a very vicious business. I remember when I first got into radio full time in 2010 at this station, all the hosts, the original hosts, or most of them, I don't think Ron showed up. We all went out to lunch and I'm thinking, oh, this will be a good team building exercise. It was one of the most uncomfortable meals I've ever had in my life. It was like everybody was every other person's rival. And right. I remember thinking,
you don't want to lose territory to somebody else.
Oh, like, this is Shelby Cassesi. Remember, sure. She used to do news updates and all kinds of things around here. Malzi and I said, what have you noticed about the radio business so far, Shelby? She said, well, everybody hates everybody. and that's what it is. A lot of this, it's media. You know, it's sports writing and sports casting and jealousy and backstabbing. And it ain't easy to get through this thing unscathed, always presenting yourself as a good person. And you two are right up at the top of the list, you and Jerry. I have not achieved that, but you two guys have, honestly.
You're underestimating your own abilities there, Joe. Yeah, I mean, simply put, life's too short. This is just supposed to be fun and games, what we do. We're here talking about sports. We're not talking about anything beyond that. Some of that stuff is way more serious than what we do. So if you keep a good attitude about it, that's all you want to do. You can have every healthy conversation you want, but it should never get to the point where it becomes, you know, animosity filled.
Yeah.
Because then to me, it's gone too far. It's not worth it.
I know. But honestly, all joking aside, on the Mount Rushmore of nice, there stand you, Jerry DePaula. Probably Jeff Hathorn.
Jeff's definitely on that list.
Who else? Is Ray Fittipaldi on the Mount Rushmore of nice limits?
He might be able to crack it, yes. It's typically, you know, there's always three that are really firm on the Mount Rushmore, and then there's one person that, or at least a group of people, that could make it up for that fourth spot.
I mean, if I had to pick early candidates for the Mount Rushmore of nice, you are one, although I think you've hurt your case by going after Bostic and Cabali.
Again, Bostic, if you want to throw that one out there, sure. But Cabali, no. Cabali and I take jabs at each other all the time off air, too, which is funny.
What were you going to say, Bob?
I don't remember.
Oh.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, it was something else, but now I don't remember.
Anyways.
You know what? I'll say something.
Yeah.
It's the reason why that Bob is currently in the running to win once again the finals, the Pittsburgh Media Madness Bracket.
Who's he playing?
Bill Hillgrove, two legends.
Whoa, what a matchup, Bob.
And Bob is dominating.
He should win that one.
Bob's winning early?
After all those years, he should win that for sure.
Billy Hillgrove made a great run to what was he? Was he a one seed?
He's a seven seed.
He upset Filippone in the first round, and there he went.
And there he went.
All the way to the final. Let's talk about the actual basketball final coming up next here. And again, just a happy and sad goodbye to Jerry DePaul. I'm sure you can get a hold of him at his email, which I think appears below his stories. Great guy and a really good reporter.